Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. Believing, Lord, this is the end of the end. We don't know, perhaps maybe the spring. Brother Bram looked for it every spring for your rapture to take place. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to really begin to focus down on what it really means to be a Christian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thought I saw L there. So, okay, excuse me. Oops. I can do this standing now, but I rather use the stool because I can last longer. Okay, so anyway, this morning we'll be looking at Satan's Eden number 245. And what does it mean to be in Christ? The scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, or a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, what does Paul the Apostle mean when he says to be in Christ? And what does he mean when he says, if any man be in Christ? Paul says, if we are in Christ, we become a new creature, and all things have passed away, and all things become new to us. So what does Paul mean, first of all, by saying, if any man be in Christ? And also, how does being in Christ make all things pass away? And what does that mean? And also, is by being in Christ, all things will become new. So what is meant by all of this? Because, you know, if you're not real familiar with the scripture, or if you are familiar with the scripture, but you have not really looked at these things, then you're going to find that be in Christ means to be in the anointed word, okay? So what does it mean by all this? How can we be in Christ? How can we be in Christ, okay? These are very good questions, but the only way to really understand them is to first understand what the Apostle Paul means, if any man be in Christ. Jesus Christ spoke of our being in him in John 15:5, when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, that means having your house in him, so to speak, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So, like Paul said, I am crucified, yet never I'm living, yet it's not really me living, it's Christ living in me. So, if you can't do anything, then what are we doing? Is everything that we're doing, Christ is doing it? Or some of it's Christ, some of it's us. And you have to make that choice for yourself. All right? Jesus Christ spoke of our being in him in John 15:5 when he says, I am the vine, okay? Notice, I am the vine. You are the branches, okay? The branch lives off the vine. He that abideth in me or makes his housing in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Remember, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So what is meant by abiding in him? We know the word abide means to dwell or remain in. But why would Jesus say, if any man abide in me? Well, what does he really mean? Remember, Brother Bram spoke of when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he told us he was not talking about his body as though he was a cannibal. So too, when we read about being in Christ, we're not talking about being in the man Jesus. We're talking about being in the anointed word, which was in the man Jesus. We're talking about being in the same anointed word that Jesus was anointed with. Remember, the Holy Ghost was not in him in the fullness until the River Jordan, but at the River Jordan, God entered into his son. Well, if you have his son here and God didn't enter him until the River Jordan, it doesn't make two gods. It makes one God. He had a son, okay? From Elisha, the prophet said, in Jesus, the baptism he had was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was in him, that come on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized in water. You mean Jesus had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like you do? Yeah, he did. Now, granted, when he was born, you say, that was God that was born. No, actually, that was the Son of God that was born. But God, life was in him. But he didn't receive the fullness of God till his baptism. You and I receive it by measure, but he received it without measure. Now, John bear record, he's seen the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him. And notice, then he went up and he sent back the same robe that he was wrapped in, the Holy Ghost upon the church. Again, for manifested sons, he said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the anointing left him. You know, he had to die as a sinner. He died a sinner. You know that. Not his sins, but mine or yours. Now, I remember a fellow from Arizona had called. He's an internet preacher, so-called. And he wanted to argue with Brother Vail. And Brother Vail said, I don't argue with people. He said, why don't you call my friend Brian? And he gave him a telephone number. And I said, hey, Brother Vail, I really don't want to argue with anybody. He called me 3 days later. He said, well, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the anointing left him, that God left Brother Branham. And I said, who made you vindicated? He said, well, what I'm saying is that there's no scripture for it. I said, if I give you three scriptures, would you believe it? He said, well, yeah, give me those three scriptures, I'll believe it. I said, okay, three times, Matthew, Mark, and John, Jesus on the cross says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, the word forsaken means to totally abandon. How can God abandon himself? Can't do it. And the man said, I still don't believe it. And I said, well, that's all right. I said, you're just an unbeliever. And he said, that's not very nice to say. And I said, well, listen, you said you don't believe the prophet, therefore it makes you an unbeliever. Okay? I mean, let's call a spade a spade. All right? So Brother Brown said that was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and he didn't have to. If he had went up there as God, remember, for 3.5 years, the fullness of the Godhead was living in that man. But if he went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of a death because you can't kill God. He's the only immortal king. You see? So, you say, well, wait a minute. If he went up there as God, okay? So he really was God. No, he wasn't. The man Jesus was not God, but God, the fullness of God dwelt in the man. All right? And he had to receive the fullness of God at the River Jordan in order to be, but then he had to, God had to leave him or he couldn't have died. Remember, they tried to stone him, right? They tried to throw him off a cliff, right? They couldn't do it. He walked right through their midst. That was God in the man. Like Brother Vail said, that body that was the Son of God lived in, he said, God made that body his body. In other words, that was the only body God ever owned, but God loaned it to his son. In other words, the Logos that came out of God in the beginning, that light, he said, let there be light. That was the Logos coming out of God. Brother Branham says these things. And we know that was the Son of God, the Logos. But he didn't form a body until God created a body for him. Special body. Then God himself, at the age of 30 years old, he stepped into that body. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Where was God when he was 12 years old? He talked to the teachers and he put the teachers out. Listen, I taught school and I know that any 12-year-old kid will talk to the teachers, you know, in a way that they will argue with the teachers. So it wasn't an all-knowing Son of God that was doing that. It was Jesus Christ who had been taught in the scriptures. And listen, my granddaughter back in the corner, Ella, when she was 9, she came home from school and said, boy, that preacher sure don't know what he's talking about. And she went on point after point after point, scripture after scripture. She said, he just doesn't know the scriptures. In fact, she just said last week, she said, you know, these Baptist preachers, any first grader could debate them in the scriptures and would know better. Right? Okay, so anyway. And again, John 17. Brother Aaron said that was God. God was anointed. God had anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and he didn't have. he have went up there as God. You can't kill God, okay? Again, in John 17, when Jesus is praying to his Father for all the believers to speak of being of our being one with him in the same way that he was one with the Father. Now, how is that possible? You know, if you're truly a oneness and you believe that God is God, and all right, how is it possible that we can become one with God as Jesus, the same way Jesus became one with God? How is that possible? It's not, listen, if you believe God and Jesus were one like your finger is one, it's impossible. But Brother Branham said he's not one like your finger is one. You got to listen to everything the prophet said. His message to us is going to save us, take us out of here, and we'll live eternally in the New Jerusalem. All right? Not the New Earth. That's for the people that are done good to the bride and those who are raised up. But it'll be for the elect of God, those who are in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, before the foundations of the world. Now, verse 22 we read, okay? And it'll give you the understanding. So let's read from John 17 first, begin at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. What is the word sanctify? It means clean everything out. It means Jesus said, I have sanctified myself for them. And Brother Brown said he spent 3.5 years living for his ministry, living for the word. He set himself, he could have had a wife, he could have had children, but he didn't want to. You say, that's impossible. No, he was a man. He could have had it. When that prostitute lay there at his feet with her hair dripping on his her tears from her face, was that close to his feet and dripping on his leg, you don't think that he was tempted? He was a man. Brother Branham said he was tempted in every aspect that a man can be tempted. He had headaches. He had everything else. That was a man. But God couldn't be tempted. And he yielded himself to the God that was within him. Okay? So from, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. Okay. Now we've just read something that has gone over the heads of perhaps 99.999% of everyone who has ever read this. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. So we must first ask, how did God send Jesus in the world? Now, this is getting back to my title, the anointed word, or Christ. What does it mean that we can be in Christ, okay? From the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said, the Spirit of God in his church, for what? What did he do this for? This is a little on tomorrow night's subject, but what he did it for. Okay, why? What did the Holy Spirit, what did he come for? What did he come in in you for? What did he come in me for? Remember, Brother Brown said, I only have a measure, just like you have a measure, but Christ had the fullness, okay? So all these people say, well, God was in Brother Brown. No, God was not in Brother Brown. He was in Brother Branham in a measure. The fullness was only one person in the Bible, and that was in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. The fullness of God dwelt in him. Now, what did he come in me for? Was to continue the works of God. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. I come not to do my own will, but the Father that sent me, and the Father that sent me is with me. And as my Father has sent me, so send you. Oh my. The Father sent him. He went in him. The Father that sent Jesus came in him, worked through him. The Jesus that sends you goes with you and is in you. And if that, now listen, when I say Jesus, many of you are thinking, or maybe you're not here, but people will think, because I'm reading Brother Brown's quote, that Jesus, he says, that Jesus that sends you goes with you and is in you. What name did Jesus come in? He came in the name of the Father. What name do you come in? Most of you are Bates, okay, because you came in the name of your Father, all right? So you see, you understand, you come in your Father's name. Jesus came in his Father's name. So that Jesus, the Father, that sends you, goes with you and is in you. And if that Spirit living in Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, made him do and act the way he did, you'll have some general idea how it'll do when it's in you. You see, because life cannot change. It'll go from body to body, but it cannot change its nature, for it's God. So if you have the life of God, if you have the nature of God, expect to do the things of God. All right? And that means healing for Brother Terry. That means, look, we have seen so many healings come by prayer chain that's tremendous. I had a stroke, all right? The doctor told me you should be dead or at least sucking through a tube the rest of your life. I'm not, okay? So God is still here. He's still with us. So Brother Ram says, and if that Spirit living in Jesus Christ made him do and act the way he did, you'll have some general idea how it'll do when it is you, when it is in you. Because that life cannot change. The nature of God does not change. If he's in you, you're going to do the works of Christ. There's no, well, brother so-and-so said that, you know, he and that brother so-and-so, I won't say his name, but he said, I never even studied John 14. He said, he was embarrassed. He said, I really don't know. I said, well, people take what you said and they want to make it into an issue. It wasn't an issue with Brother Branham 5 times in 1 paragraph. He said, I, you know, we don't have time to get into this, but he said that he that believes on me, he said that he is anybody, any person, any believer, every believer. And I think there was one other one, I can't remember which it was. But anyway, 5 different times he said that anyone who has the Holy Ghost can do the same thing because he has the same spirit, he has the same nature, okay? So he says, then you'll understand if the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll have a general idea how it works, how it'll do in you. Because that life doesn't change. It goes from body to body, but it cannot change its nature because it's God. Now from blasphemous names, the church is a mystical body of Christ born of the breath of God. Did you get it? The church of God is born of the breath of God. And that's beautiful because Elijah laid on a man, on a boy, and breathed into him and restored the life, okay? Elisha did the same thing. Malachi did the same thing. Columba did the same thing. Brother Branham did the same thing. He did it. He said in his testimony that there was a man laying there had died of tuberculosis. His entrails were coming out of his mouth. And Brother Branham pushed the stuff aside, put his mouth on his mouth, his hands on his hands, breathed into him, and the man was restored. Now, you say that's impossible. Well, God did it. It's a pattern. Jesus is our pattern, okay? So God breathed into his nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostals or the true Pentecostal church is born of the breath of God? Let me read you something just a minute, just on that. Let me just a minute. St. John, I believe, is where I'm going to, and we'll find out whether the church of God is or not. Okay, St. John now. And then he says, you know, I believe about the 1920 song. Let me read you again, see whether the church is born of the breath of God or not, like Adam was in the beginning. Amen? Or watch. Okay. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Lord. You think they're ready for rapture at that time? No. They followed Jesus for 3.5 years, and guess what? When Jesus was taken by the religious people, Peter denied him 3 times. You think he's ready for rapture? I don't think so. They were in that room up there, not because they were in that room because they were afraid. And they sat there afraid. And you know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So they didn't even have love. All right? Perfect love casts out fear. Don't have any fear for Brother Terry. He's going to be all right. All right? You just believe God for his promise. All right? Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed himself his hands and his sides. You know, some people like Thomas, they need to see some physical evidence. Why don't you believe the word? Okay? By stripes, we're already healed. Now watch. The Father that sent him went in him, and Jesus, when he sends the disciples, goes in him. Same one sent. In other words, same Jesus that sent, okay? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the church was born of the breath of God. From why it had to be shepherds, he said, notice, he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The Father that sent him went in him to confirm the word. And the same Jesus that sent his people goes in the people that he sends. That's saying, the works that I do shall you do also. Sure, he prayed that we might be one. Okay, the same Jesus, the same God, Holy Spirit, that sends his people, goes in the people that he sends, and that's saying, the works that I do, that's John 14, 12, okay? One with him, not one with an organization, not one with a system, but one with God. For God and his word is one. And Jesus and God was one. And you and I are one, and you and I must be the one, okay? Must be one. That's right. We must be one in agreement with the word. Not what somebody else says. This is of no private interpretation. Remember, God interprets his word but brings it to pass. Brother Ram said, how do you know if you got the right word or not? Well, he said, God says it in his word. You see it. He confirms it in your spirit. And then you just sit back and watch and wait until God brings it to pass. And now you know you've got it. Okay? Until that happens, you're just guessing. All right? He said, take it, what it says, and believe it. And God will vindicate it and prove that it's right. You think it is just for the disciples only? Take his word for it. Go try it once and see. You'll find out that it will work for you just the same as he promised. Yes, sir. They won't eat on slop. They have to have sheep diet. St. John 10 declares that my sheep know my voice. And if he is a word, then what kind of a voice does he have? My sheep know my voice, strangers they will not follow. See, Jesus said, a strange voice they will not follow. Now, I know there's many people that believe that there's no one has the voice of God in them except for William Branham. All right? Wait a minute. Paul, Brother Branham said, I'm only saying what Paul said. Now you got two, right? You got Paul and you got William Branham. How about anybody who believes this message, the voice of God, you know what the voice of God is? It's a word. Let's not be mystical and cultish and say, well, you got to believe it from this person or you don't believe it at all. That just shows that you're just ignorant of how God works, okay? And if he is the word, then what kind of a voice does he have? My sheep know my voice. Strangers, they won't follow. Jesus had a stranger's voice, they will not follow. So his sheep doesn't follow stranger's voice. They won't follow them. Prophets, shepherds, and sheep, all testifying of the coming. From Christ, from mystery God revealed. And he said, now watch here. Here's the beautiful. I don't want you to miss this. Now everybody, and you people on tape, out in the jungles and wherever you hear it, now listen to this. And as the Father sent me, so I send you. Jesus said, see, now watch. The Father that sent him went in him to vindicate himself right, for he was the word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same word of God, okay? The same God. As the Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so I'll send you, and you live by me. So what is he? He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, how I'd like to take that next, take a text on that and preach a couple of hours on that. From the Queen of Sheba, he said, now, you say, Brother Ram, was that what struck Paul down? Was it a light? Nobody else saw it but Paul. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus." Now we got a problem because he didn't see a man. Who was he speaking of? The father of the man. Okay? "I'm Jesus." Is that right? He said, "I come from God and I go to God." And when he was on earth, he said, I was the I am that was in the bush. You know, I heard a minister from Phoenix one time. It just really irritates me. The people are just so naive in this message. But he said the same Jesus, he was a sacrifice, so he went to the dust. He went to vapors. You know, when you burn the sacrifice, it goes to the vapors. And I said, so we got a vapor doing mediation work for us right now. A gas bag. How ignorant can you be to say stuff like that, to make the body of Jesus Christ, which God will live in for eternity, that's his body that he gave to his son, and God will indwell. Look, we crown him King of Kings. Well, who's King of Kings? God is King of Kings. You know, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, it says that God would be all in all. It says, you know, that Jesus would be our head, and then the head of man, man is the head of the woman, and then Jesus is the head of man, and God will be the head of him. Okay, so you have to understand. Just read your scriptures. A 5-year-old kid can read, can understand these things. They're not trained away from them. See, Brother Brown says you're intellectual if you're trained against the word. All right. Now, so then you see, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, if that angel that's got his picture on that paper, if it doesn't produce the same life that Jesus did when he was here on earth, then this is the wrong vine. It's the wrong thing. If it produced great things for something else, then it, and what is it? But I have to produce the same kind of life. Look, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And you know what? If you're not producing the same kind of life William Branham did, and because he did what Jesus did, you're not, you don't have the same spirit in you. Because the same spirit in you will control this body. But it can't control this body until this body has decided, I'm going to die to myself. You know, that's the beauty of Romans chapter 8. It's all about self. You know, the King James says flesh, but actually flesh is self. You know, if you die to yourself, then you can be reborn, because you can't be reborn if you haven't died. Can you? I've never heard of a person being born again that hadn't died first. So then you see, the works that I do shall you do also. So if it doesn't produce the same life that Jesus did when he was here on earth, then this is the wrong vine. It's something wrong. It produced great things for something else, but it didn't do it. Okay? But it'll have to produce the same kind of a life. Look, as my Father sent me, so send I you. How many knows the scripture says that? Well, look, the Father that sent him went in him. The Jesus that sends his men goes in his men. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. William Branham wasn't the first to come along with signs and miracles. I mean, we even had them in the age before, in the Wesley age, you know that? He was on a 300-mile journey, a preaching trip, and his horse broke a leg, and he prayed for the horse, and he got back up, and he continued his 300 miles. All right? God still does the same thing. Now let's pick up at John 17 in verse 19. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through me." Now, Brother Brown told us what that was. He had set aside his own life. He would have liked to be married and have children, everything else, but he set all of that aside because he only had 3.5 years of ministry to get these people to a condition where they could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. "So neither pray I for these alone," these people following, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Wow, you mean you're one like your fingers, one with God? No, you just believe the same thing. That the world may believe that thou sent me, and the glory. Now, we pass this by many times. People think, oh, the glory is some great shining light. No, it's not. It simply is a Greek word, doxa, and it means the opinions and the values and the judgments which thou hast gave to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as, or for the same way, we are one. So, you see, we become one with God the same way Jesus did, by believing the same message, living the same life, the same values, all right, having the same judgments, okay? That means what the word says is, that's what it says. Verse 23, I, the anointed word, in them, and thou, the anointed word, in me, that they may be made perfect in one. What does perfect mean? It means mature, all right? Finished off. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You say, as God loved his own son? Yeah, well, he gave his own son for you. You know that? You know that? God took his only begotten son and laid him on the cross for every one of you. That's how much God loves you. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me for where I am, that they may behold my glory, my doxa, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And right, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's so beautiful. That's so powerful. You realize when this message is not only in your heart, but it's in your life, every expression of your being, that's Jesus Christ, the anointed word in you. Now you know why you are in Christ. All them that are in Christ, okay? Now this morning, we'll find out what it means to be in Christ. And I think we already got halfway there. And Brother Ram's sermon, The Unveiling of God, he speaks of our being in Christ. And Brother Ram tells us just exactly what it means to be in Christ. Then once we know that what it means to be in Christ, then we will understand why the old things must pass away and why everything becomes new to us. In paragraph 123, Brother Branham tells us what it means to be in Christ. He tells us it means to be in the anointed word of Christ. Dot. God is the word. Christ is the anointing and thus the anointed one. And Jesus, the Son of God, was the manifestation of the word of God. That's why Brother Branham said, in that day you'll know that I am in the Father. Okay, the anointed word, am in the Father. And you in me, the anointed word. You see? All right. And Jesus, the Son of God, was a manifestation then of the anointed word. And Brother Branham says in paragraph 123, we're inside of Christ. Now, as then all true believers see him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's the big word, if you can get to it. See? All true believers that's in the word see God openly. The veil is rent, and God stands openly before you, manifested. See, God manifestly open. That's why Brother Vail always said, get your eyes off the vessel. It's look to the God using the vessel. All right? There is no difference in what Brother Branham taught than what Paul taught. No difference in what Brother Vail taught than what Brother Branham taught. No difference from me preaching to you, because I take Brother Branham's words and I give it back. Listen, I have a scapegoat, okay? My scapegoat is this. At the white throne, I can say everything I said is right from your scripture or right from your prophet. I haven't deviated one bit. Now, there's a lot of people that thought I did, and they're wrong because they didn't understand the scriptures. But if you understand the scriptures and the prophet, you know they dovetail together, all right? And if we say only what he says, then you don't have to worry about being wrong, do you? Now, in order to do this, our denomination traditional veil must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff. You'll never do it. They'll just keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that, they say. But here it is, and here it is made manifest. You see? In other words, if here it is, okay, that's the written word, and here it is manifested, that's the interpretation of that word. God interprets the word, but brings it to pass, okay? Now, we could spend the rest of our time this morning examining what it means to be in the anointed word, but I think you all understand that God himself is the anointer of his own word. And the Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Therefore, we are in our heart what we speak. And therefore, that's why if there's trash coming out of your mouth, there's trash in your heart. Get rid of it, okay? And therefore, it should not be hard to understand that God is the anointed word. You cannot have a God who is not his own word. And therefore, when you are in his word, that is anointed for the season in which you live. You are in him. Now, I've covered this before in a series that I taught years ago on the garden of your mind and proved it by scripture. I showed you that our thoughts that we've planted in our minds are just seeds. And when we water them, they come into manifestation exactly as we planted them. But for the rest of this morning, I want to show you the many promises that have been given to you if you are in Christ, who is the anointed word. From invisible union of the bride, he says, let the Holy Spirit search your minds with the word. You'll agree with the message. Let Christ, the anointed word, search out your own conscience. Let him get into you. And who is he that will get into them? The anointed word. That is what we call him, Christ the anointed word. From anointed ones at the end time, there's your age. But remember, the Pentecostal church in the last days was the Laodicean, and Christ was turned out the kernel of the wheat itself. When he tried to manifest himself in his church, he was taken out. It was still a church claimed to be anointed, but here is the word of Christ himself. That's the anointed word, which shall come for the rest of his body, the bride. Well, there you go. All right. It's for you. Now, you're halfway there because you believe this message. All right. But let that message then take over and live it. Why it had to be shepherds. And Christ is the word, the anointed word made manifest. What shall we do with Jesus? I'm asking you as an individual, what do you do with the blood of Jesus Christ? What will we do with this anointed word of God that's right before us today that we know is the Christ, the promise of the hour? Now, Philippians 1:6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. Now, in other words, if you don't profess your faith, you won't get what you're professing. Brother Bram taught us that many times. Well, what is your faith? It's the anointed word. And if you don't profess your faith, the anointed word, you get nothing. Like if Noah hadn't gone into the ark, which is professing his word for that season, that anointed word for the season, because God, who is the anointer, said, build an ark and get in it for the saving of your household. If he had not done that, he would have been lost and mankind would have been, God would have had to start over. What about Moses? If Moses, when God said, speak and go forward, if he only spoke, nothing would have happened. He had to put that staff into the water, had to go into the water believing that it's going to open, and he stepped in the water, and then it opened. Not like the Ten Commandments movies that Moses standing there and then the water opens. I like there's another version of it with another actor, and he actually walked out and put his staff in the water. Then the water opened. That's more accurate. Because Elijah put his staff in the water and it opened. All right? Or he actually put rolled up his shawl or what do you call it, and he slapped the water and the water opened. You know what? When Elisha came back, or when Elijah's mantle fell to the earth, guess what? Elisha went back, he went back, he picked it up, mantle, went back to the same River Jordan and said, how am I going to do that? Oh yeah, I see what he did. He rolled up that mantle, made a rod, and it opened, okay? So God uses patterns always. Why? Because we're stupid, all right? Honestly, we're stupid. We can look at the same thing over and over again, and you know what Einstein said? Doing the same thing over and over again is a sign of insanity. And we are approaching end time. We're not approaching anymore. We're at least 50%, maybe 80% into end time insanity. To where everything that they're doing in politics and religion and medicine and everything else, it's just end time insanity. People are doing things that you go, my goodness, God, take me home. That's all I can say. So Paul is talking about the faith for them which are in Christ the Word. And their communication became effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. For only one reason can this be done. Because of the anointed word being in you, and you in the anointed word are the word that is anointed. Now, 2 Timothy 2:1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Remember, Christ means anointed. It actually means the anointer, which is God, means the anointed one, which is Christ, and it means the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit or God's Spirit in you. All right? We see plainly that the grace of Christ is given, is in Christ, which means it is the anointed word of God. In 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Simply put, the love of God and the faith of Christ is contained in the anointed word. It was contained in the anointed one, Christ. It's contained in the anointed ones, you. Remember, in Romans 8, verse 29, We are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. Jesus, the man, is your brother, not God. The man is not God, but the fullness of God dwelt in you. All right? He's your brother, and we all have the same father. We all have the same DNA of God, okay? That's how God proliferated himself. In 2 Timothy 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ, the anointed word, Jesus." Okay? We see here the promise of God's life is in the word. So you cannot find eternal life. God life everywhere, anywhere, but in the anointed word of Christ. 1 John 5:12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Guess what? The word "hath" is a Greek word "echo." You know what? It's the same meaning in English. He that echoes the Son echoes life. That's perfect. Because if you're echoing this message, you're going to echo the message, you're going to echo the life. In other words, if you're echoing the opinion of God, you're going to reflect the values of God. You can't have it two ways. Colossians 2:5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your joy in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Here Paul tells us, not only our joy and order, but our steadfastness comes from our faith, which is found in the anointed word. Philippians 3:3. "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh," in self. All right? Our rejoicing has nothing to do with our flesh, nor our confidence in self, but totally in the anointed word. I think it's marvelous what God did for me, because I used to have a lot of pride in my right leg because, you know, I kicked 70-yard field goals. And God took my right leg from me. It's almost like a peg, okay? So that actually got me to realize you don't put trust in anything. You put it all in God. Our rejoicing has nothing to do with our flesh nor our confidence in self, but totally in the anointed word. Philippians 1:13 says, so that my bonds in Christ, the anointed word, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In other words, my bonds, because of the anointed word, are manifested in all places. Ephesians 1:10 says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So we see even the resurrection of all those in Christ or in the anointed word comes from the anointed word of God. Why? Because God, before the foundations of the world, when he set the firstborn son to be sacrificed, he was a sacrificial lamb, Revelation 7, said in Ephesians 1:3-4, that we are also predestinated to the adoption of sons, to the full maturity, Christian living, you know, the full maturity of sons. So it's already a done deal. God set it forth. It's going to happen. Now, if you get in the way, that's your too bad. I feel sorry for you because, you know, maybe you weren't meant for it. But so, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in the anointed word. We were back there in his mind, in the anointed word of God. Can you imagine that? You are part of the word. Oh, wow, that's tremendous. When we are in the anointed word, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's what he just told us there. And Galatians 2:4 says, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, in the anointed word, Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. In other words, everything that's contrary to this anointed word is meant to bring you down, meant to bring fear, meant to control you. That's what the government does. That's what the healthcare does. All right? That's what they're all doing. It's fear, 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 fear. People walk around like, oh, I better not do anything because if I say anything, then maybe I'll get targeted. You know what? So what? Paul was targeted. All the apostles were targeted. They weren't until, you know, they were hiding away until the Holy Ghost came and found them. Then they just spoke openly. And then they were targeted. So what? All right? Paul speaks here of the make-believers who spy out the liberties of the anointed word of God, it gives us, so perhaps they can use that liberty against us. That's why we have to be harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, in the anointed word, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, in and through the anointed word of God, I have begotten you to the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, the anointed word, Jesus, called to be saints. So the word sanctifies you, sets you apart. With all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Here Paul tells us our sanctification comes through Christ, who is the anointed word of God. 1 Peter 5:14 tells us, greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul tells us here that there is peace for all who are in the anointed word. Listen, the whole world is afraid of a nuclear war. I'm looking forward to it. Because Brother Branham said 1 minute before a bomb strikes, we'll be in the arms of Christ. It's not for me. So why should I be fearful about something that doesn't even have anything to do with me? All right? Let it come. Who cares? I'm looking forward to going home. Because he's our peace. And never forget that God is the Word. That brings us peace to know that Brother Brand told us that not before one bomb strikes this earth, we'll be in the arms of Christ. Before one drop of rain came down, Noah was in the ark. And you know what? He was in the ark for 7 days. I can imagine his kids were saying, Dad, you know, did you tell the truth that God spoke to you about it's going to rain? I mean, we've been here in day one. Now on day two, day three, and day four, day five, day six, day seven, and all of a sudden, sprinkle, 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 then gush. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 1 Peter 3:16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of good conversation in Christ. You know what you were? Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed to live a godly life, to share a godly life, to even try to introduce someone even though you don't know what to expect. Don't worry about what to expect. God will be there and give you wisdom, okay? Philemon 1:23. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, in the anointed word. And he's also a fellow prisoner in the anointed word. For it was because of the word, and Paul stand for the word, that Paul became a prisoner. And so was it with Epaphras. Philemon 1:8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, Paul tells us even our boldness comes because of the anointed word of Christ. And 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Remember, wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. You see? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It brings to us salvation, which is in the anointed word, Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Holy Scriptures, which contain the anointed word of God, are able to make us wise unto salvation and revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus in the anointed word shall suffer persecution. So don't think you can get by, that you can maybe hide someplace and get away from it. Well, you know, if I just do this, you know, if I don't go to a church and they won't hunt me down. Oh, yeah, they will. They've got all your names. But you're not going to be hunted down. That's for the foolish version. So your living godly in the word will bring persecution because of your stand for the anointed word, and the anointed word is manifesting through you. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, the anointed word Jesus, with eternal glory. Paul again shows us that our salvation comes from the anointed word of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ, in the anointed word, Jesus. Notice that it was given us or promised to us in the anointed word of God before the foundations of the world. In 1 Timothy 3:13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ, the anointed word, Jesus. He speaks of deacons and how their faith or revelation brings them great boldness because it comes out of them from the anointed word of God. 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, the anointed word, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now I could go on and on, I will. Just because I want to hammer this down. All right? 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord that was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, in other words, the united word. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ, or the anointed word concerning you. Now listen, do you think that what we are going through in our personal lives, I'm talking about, not only as a message believer in this end time, but the individual things that we have to suffer in the body of this death. You think God didn't know those before the foundations of the world? You're going through them because God wanted to get you to completely forget about everything about this flesh. What can I do in this flesh? What can I succeed in this flesh? How much can I attain in this flesh? And he wants you to put all your efforts into giving him the glory. And he does it by taking things away so that you have room to replace them with his word. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's in the word. That's going to happen. So you want the word. Here Paul speaks of the resurrection of those who have died while in the anointed word, and the anointed word in them will raise them up at the time of the parousia of Christ. You say, well, parousia is not a good word. Listen, it's used by the Apostle Paul 23 times. Brother Branham said, I'm only preaching what Paul preached. So if Brother Branham didn't preach the parousia, then he didn't preach what Paul preached. Now, Brother Branham, however, was speaking to an English people, so he used the word presence, because the word parousia simply means presence. And did you know that there are 86 signs and events that everyone, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of them used when they spoke of the word parousia? If you just look up that word and look at where it's used at in scriptures, you see that everyone listed signs and events that will be associated with the time of the parousia. And you know, of the 86, there's only four left. Only four left. I mean, nation is against nation. You know, Israel's back in her homeland. All these things are done. Every one of them, I mean, there's a whole list. But there's four left. Resurrection, change of the body, catching away, etc. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, but ye brethren, excuse me, if I got that right here. All right. For ye brethren become followers of the church of God, which is in Judea in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered things like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Paul tells us here that suffering, his sufferings and those of the brethren, is because of their stand for the anointed word of God for their season. Colossians 1:28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may be present every man perfect or mature in the anointed word, Jesus. Paul is speaking of our perfection or our maturity in the anointed word of God. Colossians 1:4. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the anointed word, and love which ye have to all the saints, okay? And Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ in the anointed word, which are at Colossus, or Colossus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we get older, there's a reason why people retire, because we are living in an age that is full of stress. Everybody on their job has stress. And so we're given an opportunity at 65 with, you know, the Social Security and stuff, to kind of enter into that peace that God has for us and not be stressful. That's why I don't like it when things happen and people want to take it out on somebody else. Don't they realize that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose? God has a way of working every detail out. Nothing to get stressful over. All right. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in the anointed word. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling in the anointed word. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in the anointed word, Jesus. Notice he's saying, let this mind be in you, which is in the anointed word, okay? Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. In other words, if there be any consolation in the anointed word. It will be that it brings fellowship and bowels of mercy. When we get older, we should lay aside anything that puts stress on us if we want to live longer. Right, Frank? You're the oldest one here. Just let yourself go. Don't worry about working a job until you're drop dead. All right? Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, as the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, to all the saints in the anointed word, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, the anointed word, you're sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, the anointed word, unto good works which God before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, I'm going to skip my own comments here. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in the anointed word. You know, we're going to a place that's going to have a big gate. All right? It's restricted for just those who have the doxa of God. Those who have the opinion and the value and the assessment of God. There'll be many people raised up and given life at the white throne because they did something good. And they're good people that do that. But they don't, they have no part of the New Jerusalem. There's a gate there. And in that gate is full of peace and joy and just tremendous living in the presence of the King. All right? Now, Brother Brown said, you can't see him, but he's here. He's in another dimension. We're going to that other dimension. So just start living at peace, all right? Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised up together, made us to sit together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ, which is the anointed word, when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in heavenly places. Now, can you imagine when they were beating Jesus? Each nail as it struck into his palms and through his feet and all the agony and suffering he went through. You think he was thinking about those things? I think he was thinking about where he's going. That God was going to raise him up, and God did just exactly what God said he would, because Jesus was in the anointed word. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. I knew a man in the anointed word about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Like Brother Bram said, I went someplace, sixth dimension. I looked at my body, it was down there. But I don't know if it's a vision or translation. That's what he said. I don't really know if it's a vision or translation. But it was heavenly. Everyone was my brother and sister, and they all said, "Oh, William Branham." And they all said, "Brother Branham, we love you." He said, "Are these all Branhams?" I mean, because listen, amongst family members, there's a lot of love. And you know what? Sometimes we overlook things, even though we get on them. We get on them each time that they bug us. And yet there's a lot of love because you keep going back. All right? Well, what is it going to be like when there is no one who thinks different from God, who acts different from God, who lives different from God, and they're all together in the New Jerusalem? Won't that be such a harmonious place? Oh boy, I just can't wait to get out of here so we can get there. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in Christ, the anointed word, stead, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 3:14, but in their minds were blinded, for until this day remain the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away in the anointed word. This anointed word we have in this hour took the veil completely away. Now, Brother Ram said, in order to do this, our denomination traditional veils must be broken by God's spirit of fire and the word and sword, which is his word. Always his word is his sword. See, he took his sword that day full of fire and ripped that veil from top to bottom. He does the same thing with the same sword today. not my creed, my book of creeds, my catechism, but the sword of the Lord. See, rips the veil down, and you see God standing in plain view, manifested in his word. What a glorious view to look at. See, all right? God's Holy Spirit and fire, his sword rips the word rips the denominational veil. The veil traditions of unbelievers. We'll let that one sink in. You got any traditions? Family traditions? Other traditions? Church traditions? And it's not in the Word of God? Forget it. The veil tradition of unbelievers taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of his word. He still keeps his word. He's a God, author of his word, that is hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that's right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, he's still behind skin veils. Like my mother-in-law said, and then I found out Brother Branham had said it first, she said, if you let someone stand between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. Think about that. Because they're standing in between you and God. Notice, then we become part of him as you are in the veil that veils him. You are a part of him as long as Christ is in you. As long as Christ was God, because God was in him, made him God. Do you hear that? Because God was in him, made him God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know he is in you. You're templing Christ. That's behind the veil, the skin, because of this veil. The veil, again, in human flesh, hides God from the world to unbelievers, or from unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ in the anointed word, and makes manifest the savor of knowledge by us in every place. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ the anointed word shall all be made alive. So all those who live by it and through the anointed word shall be made alive by the anointed word at this end time. Because God said before the foundation of the world, he's going to have a resurrection. That's his anointed word. Now we're waiting for the manifestation of that. Paul said, if in this life only we have life in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If you're standing outside the anointed word, you've got fusses, you've got fears, you've got anxieties, all these things. But if you're in the anointed word, God will take care of it. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Now, I know people would say, well, Brother Vail, you know, he's off the word. I said, okay, did you ever hear a sermon? Well, no. Then how do you know he's off the word? Well, Brother so-and-so told me Brother so-and-so said. I said, listen, you're going to put your trust in a lie when Brother Bram said, if any minister or laity wants to know anything about the message, ask Lee Bell. Why would he say that? Unless Brother Bram was lying. You believe Brother Bram lied about that? Well, he didn't. I just don't understand why people will listen to somebody that's third hand. Like, I heard it from a minister who heard it from a minister. Oh, yes, but did you ever go and listen to anything he said? Well, no, I don't want to do it because I heard from so-and-so. Yeah, so did the Pharisees. And you brought in false testimony against Jesus. Same thing. 1 Corinthians 4:10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. You're wise because of the anointed word. We are weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we are despised. Romans 9:1, I say the truth in Christ and ignore the word. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians, how are you going to bear witness? Well, if I see it in the word and I feel it in my spirit, believe it in my spirit, then I watch it come to pass. When it comes to pass, hey, God's borne witness to what I saw and what I believed, okay? Ephesians 3:1, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the anointed word. Ephesians 1:12, that you should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in the anointed word. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ, anointed word, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ, the anointed word. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:17, and this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, in other words, before the foundation of the world, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Galatians 1:22. And was unknown by faith unto the church of Judea, which were in the anointed word. 2 Corinthians 2:19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, the anointed word, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So why do you live the word so painstakingly accurate? Because it's not for you, it's for them. Them who are looking on your life. That's the only God they'll ever see. The only anointed word they'll ever see. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the anointed word. That's beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit that God was in Christ, the anointed word, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, the anointed word, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 1:21, for he which standeth with us in you, and hath, which is anointed, with you in Christ, the anointed word, and hath anointed us, is God. That's beautiful. God has anointed you by giving you the Holy Spirit. Did you know that 1 Corinthians 2, just read the whole chapter. No man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So if you're having trouble understanding this message, it's because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. So I would get on my knees and pray. Forget all of your football and everything else. And just pray until God fill you with his Spirit. Then you're going to begin to understand the things that Brother Branham was teaching us. Because God hath anointed us with the anointed word. 1 Corinthians 16:24. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus, the anointed word. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ, the anointed word, I die daily. 1 Corinthians, it just dropped down here. I mean, we could read it, but. Then they also which are fallen asleep in the anointed word are perished, okay? But they're not. 1 Corinthians 3, he says, you know, if we don't believe, then everybody else, if you don't believe there's a resurrection of the dead, then everybody who died in the anointed word is not going to go up in a resurrection because there's no resurrection. But it's the anointed word, so they will. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in the anointed word. In other words, yeah, you might have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but are you a mature son yet? Or are you still a baby floundering around with every wind of doctrine? Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. That's the only word. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Romans 16:10. Salute Apelles, approved in the anointed word. Salute them which are at the household of Aristobulus. Romans 6:9. Salute Urbane, our helper in the anointed word. Okay. Romans 16:7. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also are in the anointed word before me. Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in the anointed word. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in the anointed word. Okay. Nor Romans 8:39. Nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in the anointed word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the anointed word, who walk not after the flesh or after self, but after the Spirit. Being justified freely of his grace through redemption that is in the anointed word. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, in the anointed word. We have seen the star, Brother Ram says. I'm just about done. Would you deny that Jesus said himself what the Bible itself speaks out, which is Christ, the anointed word? And if the word abides in you, then you're anointed person with the word. You abide in me and my words in you, then you ask what you will. It'll be done for you. That's Christ in you anointing the word for this age. Whatever age they lived in, God divided his word to ages. And every time it comes at that time, the churches are all scrupled up. God anoints somebody, sends it down, and makes the word act just exactly the way he said it would. It did. And there's the word prophesied for this day. God's waiting to find somebody. It's not too unusual that they can be anointed with the Holy Ghost to prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to be a shining light to blind the eyes of the unbeliever. And they blaspheme it and would bring justice upon them. For God's law is just, and judgment can only come by his judgment. And then he cannot condemn the world and send it away into a flame of fire like he did the Sodomites. So he brings about an anointed word, makes it visible for everyone to see. They reject it and they're gone. That's it. But those who receive it, they get to go with that person into glory. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, we're so wonderful, Lord, your anointed word that we live in, breathe in. As Paul said, it's my life and my breath. Father, we just pray that our lives, we get ready. I believe with all my heart that, your prophet looked forward to the resurrection every spring, and I'm looking forward to it this spring for sure. Because everything just seems to be winding up. They say when peace and safety, then destruction cometh. That's what your scripture says. And we got a president who proclaims himself to be the peace and safety president. And so, Lord, we're just looking. All these things have just come together in a nutshell, Lord. Your word has been just openly manifested to everyone. And so we ask that you'd help us get ready for that time. Just look down, like Brother Bram said, take inventory of our life. Every little thing that we have against somebody, make it right. Everything that, Lord, that's not right in our lives, we make it right. And Father, just help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.